defense with grace and love. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, gives us an apologetic, a defense for our faith, a reason for our faith. Because we believe in a reasonable faith. We're not supposed to check out our minds. Just to set the stage of the text that we're about to look at, and we've looked at it a million times. I'm sure if you've been around a church, you've looked at this text. But I want to frame it because I won't go on to my sermon about hermeneutics, but context, 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 right? The same way a realtor says, what determines the price of a house? Location, location, location. Context, context, context gives us the meaning of the text. So what becomes before it and what comes after is really, really important. And so what comes before is we get actually a snapshot because John's writing his gospel. Jesus has two best friends, right? He's got John, he's got Peter. And you ever have a best friend, he's so close that you say, hey, you asked this question. Have you ever had that happen? I remember I was in Walt Russell's Introduction to the New Testament, and I was sitting next to Joe Gill, and Joe Gill was my roommate, and we're taking the class together. Walt Russell said something confusing. I elbowed Joe, hey, ask him what he just said again, because I missed it. And this was before laptops, so I was writing this stuff down, and Joe Gill raises his hand and says, you know, what did you just say? You know, I don't know why I didn't do it, but we're just that close as friends, right? Peter and John are sitting next to each other around the table. And Jesus says, somebody in this room is going to betray me. John records, Peter nudges John. Hey, who is it? Get him to say who it is. John asks. He actually whispers in Jesus' ear. Says, hey, who's this going to be? Jesus says, the person I hand bread to next is going to betray me. He hands Judas the bread, and then we have our text. When he was gone, he being Judas, he takes his bread and he takes off. Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once or immediately. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new or a fresh command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, my students, my apprentices, if you love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, preach through me. May my words be forgotten. May your words enter into this room. We invite them into this room. Change us from the inside out. forever. And all God's people said. And then I said, the context, so he's coming from mentioning the cross. He's coming from mentioning Judas betraying him. And then he's about to go into his final sermon. His last sermon. Dare I say, this is John's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew starts with the Sermon on the Mount, and that's the crucial information that Jesus teaches the people. According to John, who writes his gospel way later, he actually preaches this sermon towards the end of his life. And this is the one point of his last sermon. Because he brings it up at the end. Remember in John 17, he circles back, he calls back, and he tells just the 12 this same exact truth. The Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. How many times is glorified said? Glorified, 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 glorified. There's four glorified, five times in two verses. Glorified, glorified, glorified. It's kind of cheating because we were studying this at Daytimers on Wednesday, just this past Wednesday, with our Bible study. It meets on Wednesdays from 10 to 11:30. And Dr. Dien Chung Hu was in the room, and the first thing he asked right after we said this is, glorified, what does this word mean? What does glorified mean? Anybody? Praised, lifted up. Now, I'm not looking to like make you look stupid. I'm asking you these questions because I know you have it. I know you have these answers. We all know everything I'm going to say. I'm simply here reminding you. I'm bringing it up again. And maybe throwing in a couple new things that you don't realize. Glorified, lifted up, praised. What you may not know is it's the same word we say every week when we say the Lord's Prayer. We translate it, hallowed be thy name. Same Greek word. Glorified be thy name. Lifted up be your name. Lifted up. Praised. Right? You're opening to, it just ties straight back in. The same experience when you're stepping. I remember my first time seeing the Grand Canyon. I remember thinking I'd go look at it. I remember feeling guilty after leaving after 3 hours. I remember thinking, I wish I could sit with a lawn chair on this outgrove or whatever, this ledge, for 3 days and just start to take in how beautiful and how big. That's the word. Glorified be your name, glorified. I'm going to be glorified, my Father's going to be glorified, but what's he talking about? He's talking about death. You nailed it. Anyway, that's awesome. That's the best that's ever happened, because usually I'm real blurry between rhetorical and, you know, have you noticed that? Sometimes I'm asking you, and I'm like, why aren't they answering? And then sometimes I'm asking you, please don't answer. But I'm trying. But that was one of those ones I wasn't expecting an answer, but you nailed it right on the cross, and that's right there. It's the pain. It's the suffering. And we get that from the clue that comes next. He says, I'm going to go where you can't go. He's talking about his death. Dale Bruner, he showed me this quote from John Calvin on this text. This is John Calvin. The glory of God shines indeed in all creatures on high and below, but never more brightly than in the cross, in which there was a wonderful change of things. Being the good theologian that Calvin is, he uses the Latin. Admirabilis rerun conversio. Maybe this series I'm gonna mention Latin every Sunday. Maybe not, though. I don't want to pigeon my whole self in. Remember last week, it was Missio Dei. We worship ascending God, and he doesn't send us one by one. He sends us. Here we focus on in the beginning of this text, the admirabilis rerun conversio, the wonderful change of things. Sin, this is Calvin, sin blotted out, salvation restored to men and women, that's me. In short, the whole world will be renewed and all things restored to order. Glorified. Cross. From this, it keeps going. He says, going where you can't follow. And if you remember, Peter says, I want to go wherever you go. Love his heart, right? And then Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. Dale Bruner calls this the sad verse. The sad verse. Then Jesus gives a fresh command. And this is where the English kind of does us injustice. Because look at that text. I'll look at the text for us. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The way that reads, it buries the lead. It buries the anchor of that truth. The anchor of that truth is, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Pop quiz, what's he been talking about? The cross. Glorification. As I have loved you. Grace, especially grace from God, and God's love is so beautiful, it's hard to get a handle on it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so big that you can't grasp it. I usually tell this story when explaining grace, okay? I'm cruising through the S-curves, right? Everybody knows what Back Bay is, S-curves. I'm cruising in a 914 Porsche. I'll make it more specific just because I like specificity. I'm cruising through in a 914 Porsche, and I'm cruising just hugging. I'm going about 75. The speed limit's around 45. I get pulled over by a cop. The cop says, I forgive you. You can go. That's forgiveness. He pulls me over and hands me a donut. You can go. That's grace. It's a gift on top of it. But the problem with that scenario is God's love and God's grace is bigger than that. Whether you're breaking the law or not breaking the law has nothing to do with it. What you're doing has nothing to do with it. What you're thinking has nothing to do with it. Anything you think it's about, it's nothing about that. God loves you, period. God adores you, full stop. God is crazy about you, exclamation point, and one of those boom emojis. as I have loved you. Think about that for a second. Paul says, in my worst state, you picked me up and you loved me. When I was at my lowest, when I was the furthest from knowing anything, you sent your one and only son, to die for me, to die for you. As I have loved you, Bruner helps us with this. He translates the verse, have a heart for one another out of the resources of my heart for you. Out of the resources of God's heart for you, love people. Love your brother and your sister. Love the person to your right and to your left. Have you ever stood under a waterfall? Picture yourself standing under that waterfall. Now picture yourself trying to drink all of that water. What would happen? You'd probably drown. You'd maybe blow up. I don't know. If you're definitely in a cartoon, like, that's Jesus' point. We're not loved. We're not forgiven to just be forgiven's sake. We're not given grace so that we can feel amazing. We're given grace. We're given love to become dispensers, to have it flow through us. Right? Is everybody following? Good. Am I going too long, Malia? Okay. She was going to say land it when she does. Okay. And that's our apologetic. That's our apologetic. That's our defense. What's our defense? Receive the love that God has for you. And love your brothers and sisters in Christ first, and then have that spill out all over the place. James picks this up. The stepbrother of Jesus picks this up and writes all about it in his epistle. And he says, you've got something wrong if you're not loving people. You're either not understanding how loved you are, or you got a systems problem where you're not letting it out. Paul picks it up the same way. He says, you know, by our fruit, we're going to be seen, you know? Jesus doesn't go into it right here. But I want to address it as brothers and sisters right here. We're a family, right? Yes or no? Okay, good. Yes. There it goes again. I'll try not to do that as much. As much. Anyway, I didn't put it. We do have a systems problem. I'm telling you, it's not that big of a problem in this room. I think the capital C church has a bigger problem than we do as a small PCC, this local outpost of Jesus Christ kingdom. Because I think we're pretty good at loving one another. Right? But notice, the big wins are always because of God's love. Right? It's always because it's flowing through. And so this is maybe just a reminder Sunday. Are you letting it flow through? Or are you bottling it up? Or are you not understanding how loved you are? Because that can be a huge problem. I know I've been stuck in that wheel for a while. You get the voices like beating yourself up, thinking, man, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done that. No. Let God this morning silence all those stupid voices in all of our broken systems. And let you hear this morning, maybe for the first time, maybe for the millionth time, God is crazy about you. Full stop. As God has loved you, love one another. Brunner quote, "The mutually lived out heart love of Christians for one another will be the single greatest missionary force in the world." Do you hear that? The mutually lived out, that's our part. We simply mutually live it out. We mutually stand here or sit here in this room and say, yes, we are going to receive the love that God has for us through his son, Jesus the Christ. And we're going to live that out. That mutually lived out heart love of Christians for one another will be the single greatest missionary force in the world. And then he ends the verse, or ends this passage, Jesus says, and the world will know. The world will know. They won't have any doubt. They won't have any questions that you are my disciples. Here. Right here. In this moment, in this space, me speaking, person to your right, person to your left, seated, here is the way everyone will know. How do we apply this? First, I want to remind you, God's love doesn't run out. God's love doesn't run out. The Farless family. Jeff, you still in the room? I won't say it then. Well, maybe I will say it. Every time the siblings are together, the siblings say, "I'm Dad's favorite." All of them, right? They all say, I'm Dad's favorite. I'm Dad's favorite. I've tried to spread that out onto my family. But my kids won't follow. I don't know, because they all know. I don't know. Anyway. God absolutely loves Dusty. And he can look at Danny, and he can look at Terry, and he can look at Joe or Bob. What was your name? Bob. I was close. That was the second one. This is the second time I've said his name. That's amazing for Jason Warren Griffiths. Miracles happened this morning. Okay. Bob, God can absolutely adore you and you can be his favorite. So can Jane. His grace and his love is irregardless of what we think, do, act. And it doesn't run out. It's bottomless. It's as far as the east is from the west, the north is from the south. It doesn't have end. It doesn't have beginning. You are loved with that love. God's love transforms us. Let's love one another as a mission, as a goal, as a thing we put on our to-do list. Make Dan smile. Encourage the Tolbert family. Surprise Margot with flowers. That kind of stuff, right? When you're in love and you let it out, it's fun. You'll notice that too, right? I could go on another sermon, but let's end it right there. Let me pray. God, I just thank you so much for loving us. I thank you for it being set apart from anything we've done, said, thought. You absolutely love us. I pray that you would clear out the blockways, clear out the system failures, clear out the ways that we get in the way of letting your love flow through us. May we love each other more today than we did yesterday. And all God's people said,